أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome back to another day of this blessed month of Ramadan and our theme of living the Quran through the living Quran. Today being the 27th day of this blessed month, we're coming to a close. This blessed month, the month of forgiveness, the month of mercy, the month of compassion from God will be drawing to a close in the next few days. And we're hoping and praying that we've all been able to benefit from this blessed month, whether it be through the recitation of the Noble Quran, whether it be through our standing at night for extra prayers or recitation of supplications, or even just the basic act of fasting during the days. All of these are part and parcel of the month of Ramadan, and all of them obviously carry their own rewards and special privileges which God has bestowed upon those who are able to fulfill all of these and the many other actions that have been recommended in this holy month. Today we want to look at the very important topic of humility and humbleness. You know, we live in an era, in a day and age, in the 21st century, the so-called modern era, in which we don't see much of humility within society. And actually we see perhaps the exact opposite of what this trait would be. You know, we even have coined terms such as selfies. This is a selfie generation, we can say, where it's all about me, myself, and I. Where it's not about humbleness and humility, but it's about me being in the picture, me being, you know, seen on social media, and you know, all of those other aspects that go along with this life that we lead today. What does the Quran speak about humbleness and humility? Obviously, there are many verses of the Quran in which God speaks about this very important trait, this trait which gives really life to the heart, in which hopefully can actually rectify an entire society in many different ways. Before we go into the understanding of the verse, let us pause briefly to have a listen and a read of this verse, and then we'll come back and try to analyze it very briefly in this end of the month of Ramadan, Ramadan Reflections.
ولا تصعر خدك للناس ولا تمشي في الأرض مرحا إن الله لا يحب كل مختال فخور.
And do not turn your face away from people in scorn and pride, nor walk about on the earth haughtily. Surely Allah does not love any self-conceited boaster. Now first of all, this verse comes to us from the Noble Quran in chapter number 31, which is named after a very wise man named Luqman. We don't want to go into too much of a detail, but we would definitely encourage our viewers to take the time to recite, to read Surah Luqman, and look at the translation and the commentaries which are available for it. Luqman is a very interesting individual from the Quranic narrative. He was not a prophet, he was not a messenger, he was not an imam. He was not a divinely sent individual as we know them to be, as the prophets of the Quran are. But yet Allah mentions him with a chapter of the Quran. An entire chapter is named after him. And not only named after him, but also a good portion of this chapter deals with the teachings that Luqman was imparting to his young son. Now obviously there is an entire discussion on where Luqman came from, where he got this level of wisdom from, what profession did he have, what was his relationship in society, a lot of different questions about him as an individual. We don't want to go into those today. We have given a commentary of Surah Luqman, which we will make note of in the description below to the link if you want to refer to the commentary that was offered in the month of Ramadan. But suffice it to say that he was a wise man who was given an opportunity, actually, we believe by God, to either be a prophet or to be one who had been endowed with wisdom and intelligence and the ability to convey this to society. And we're told in the traditions that he accepted wisdom over prophethood. And so we see much of his beautiful advice to his son, the one point of which we want to look at today, which is to be humble and to be modest. Now, this verse looks at Luqman telling his son about not walking, exultantly around the earth, to be humble in the way he walks. Obviously, we understand this to be a metaphor. It can be taken literally, obviously, because even if you look at society, People who tend to think that they are somebody because of their status, because of their maybe popularity and fame, because of the wealth they may enjoy, they tend to even walk in a specific way. You know, they'll walk with their head up, with their chest out. They won't pay attention, for example, let's say, to people around them. They want to push and shove their way. Even if they're in a gathering of other leaders, you know, these people who are pride and have arrogance want to push their way around and to pretend to be somebody that they're not. So we can look at it from the literal point of view and perspective, or even metaphorically, when God talks about not walking on the earth with pride and arrogance, it can also mean just to be a very humble individual in the way you deal with with people around you and with the world actually on a whole. And so that is the first thing that we have to realize, is that this advice from Luqman to his son, and obviously as an extension to you and I, is about our conduct in society. How do we act and react and interact with people that we are, you know, working and living around? Islam is very much concerned about human behavior, human etiquette. And when God has brought forth all of our acts of worship, although obviously we accept the fact that only God knows why He put certain acts of worship in their particular form, but when we analyze our acts of worship that we perform, whether it be our daily prayers, the five times a day, or the pilgrimage that we would make to Mecca, the once in our lifetime Hajj pilgrimage, or charity, or even fasting that we're doing right now in this month of Ramadan, we see that many, if not all of these, have an aspect of training the soul to become humble and having humility in the face of the rest of humanity. Just to give a few examples to better understand this, the prayers, the five daily prayers, the salat that we perform, one of the obligations and actions in the prayer is to put our face and our forehead onto the earth, onto the ground. Right? The face which people will spend tens of millions of dollars around the world to beautify. You know, women will use cosmetics. Men or women may, for example, go to beauty parlors and salons for facials. People will spend exorbitant amounts of money on plastic surgery to make themselves look younger year after year after year. The same face that you and I hold so much value and esteem too, we're told in the prayers, in the 17 units of prayers a day, that a minimum of 34 times that we need to put this most beautiful portion of our body onto the ground. Onto the ground and onto dirt, right? And that's why we prostrate onto dirt, is that, you know, we're humbling ourselves to that level. And if you look at it, when you put your face on the ground in prayers, if you're praying in congregation and you're in one of the further lines, if you look up, you see somebody's feet in front of you. So this is showing us a level of humility that we are no better than anybody else in society. We look at, for example, the Hajj pilgrimage, and every single able-bodied man and woman must perform at least once in their life if they meet all the requirement. The Hajj shows us humility, because every single person will wear white garments. The men will wear look like towels, oversized towels to cover their body. And there will be no rings, no jewelry, no necklaces, no watches. All of that worldly possessions is removed at the time of the Hajj. No hats even are worn. And so the Hajj becomes the ultimate show of Muslim humility and humbleness. So if we are to look at all of our acts of worship as Muslims, we would see that there is always an aspect, or in many cases, maybe I should say, there's many cases, an aspect of bringing us down back to earth, making us humble, making us to be submissive to God, and to humiliate ourselves and to humble ourselves in front of the presence of the Almighty Creator. When we look at the topic further of humility, we know that obviously as believers, we need to be humble in front of all creatures of God. We have no right to be boasting or arrogant or obnoxious in front of anybody or any creation of God. But obviously when we look at it at a further level and in greater depth, we realize that our humility needs to be further emphasized with certain individuals that we interact with. So we're told, respect your parents, have a greater level of humility with your parents. Some traditions tell us, don't walk in front of your mother and father. We have to be submissive to our parents. So even a greater level of reverence and humility is shown to them. We are also told to respect the elders and have compassion for the youngsters. Again, we're shown to be given an extra level of respect to these individuals. Seniors, because they earn that respect of their age. They have lived longer. They have hopefully done much more better than us, more good actions. They have gone through so much more, and so we have to respect them at a greater level. And obviously, another level of respect that we show, a specific form of respect, is to the believers. Now, we respect all people regardless of religion, but we cannot deny the fact that you and I as Muslims, we have to show greater reverence and respect to one another. We don't disrespect non-believers, that's not what we're saying, but we're saying that Muslims get a different level, a greater level of respect. You know, we, for example, greet one another with the phrase of Assalamu Alaikum. May God's peace, you know, this name Assalam, may peace and blessings of God be upon you. This is a greeting reserved for you and I as Muslims. We don't extend that same greeting to non-believers. We can respect them, we can greet them in their ways, but we have a specific way to greet one another. We have unique, a bond of affinity between the Muslims, whatever persuasion we follow. As Muslims, once we say the belief in the oneness of God and in the prophethood and the finality of the final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family, we then enter into a special contract with one another. And so humility at that level takes on a all new meaning and definition. Let me close with two brief anecdotes in the time of the Prophet of Islam, the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family. In one of the stories that we have been told in the books of narration, we're told that he had gone out in an expedition with his companions, with the friends in Medina. And obviously, as it was that they many times would not be carrying food with them or the means to prepare the food. And so when they embarked and they camped at a site, the Messenger of God asked the companions for them to go out and find something to eat, maybe engage in some hunting or find something available, whatever the case may be. He asked them to go and find the food, but he didn't just sit back at camp, relaxing, waiting for them to come and prepare and cook and feed him. He actually said that you go out and find the food, I will go and find the firewood to make the fire. Being the Prophet of God, he didn't have to do this. You know, I'm sure companions would have jumped at the opportunity to serve the Messenger of God, but he showed that he is one of the community. His humbleness, humility is such that he would serve the community before serving himself. This is just one story we have out of the many, many, many stories of how the Prophet served his own community and the companions and the fellow believers in Mecca and also in the period of Medina. Another example, another story of the life of Rasulullah, and we'll end our brief discussion today. Again, there are so many different stories of the life of the Prophet, but one of the things we see which was very clear and evident in his life is that he was very much with the people. In fact, it got to an extent when he would be in the mosque in Medina, and he would be sitting on the ground because he didn't have a throne. He wasn't a king. He wasn't a prince like we have today in the world. He was a normal, humble slave of God. And as he has been quoted as saying that, I am a servant from amongst the servants of God. He would sit on the ground in such a form and fashion that when people would come looking for the Messenger of God to learn about Islam, to hear the Quran, to maybe convert to this religion, they would walk into the gathering or the mosque or whatever it would be, and they would say, where is Muhammad? Where is your Messenger of God? They would not be able to recognize him in a gathering. May God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family. He looked like everybody else. He dressed like them. He sat like them on the ground. And so when people would come looking for the Prophet, they wouldn't know who he was. And they would have to be pointed out that this is the Messenger of God. And then they could pose their questions and hopefully come to this religion of Islam. So as we close in this blessed day of the month of Ramadan, as we end this month and we come closer and closer to the day of Eid, let us remember to have a life of humility and humbleness. Be humble to one another, Muslim or not. Be in that state of humility that we should not be proud or arrogant of our birth name, our birth country, our nationality, the language we speak, any of these characteristics, the skin, the color of our skin. These are all incidental traits, and God will not ask us about these on the Day of Judgment, but He will ask us about our level of consciousness, of taqwa, of piety. And if we're able to pass those questions and pass that exam, then definitely we will be worthy of being admitted into the gardens of paradise. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.